This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. I am back, and yes, I took some time off. I took that test. I declared that I was going to get a score, and the Holy Spirit blessed me with that score, and He actually made it one more point than what I asked for. And I thank you for joining your spiritual Harriet Tubman, Valerie Wright, and the senior host of this show, and the producer and executive producer, because he can turn it any direction that he wants to at any time. This is the Holy Spirit, and you have to remember to always let the Holy Spirit know how wonderful He is and how thankful you are for Him. When you wake up in the morning and open up your eyes with your first breath, you should just thank Him for keeping you through the night. So this topic, who are you and what are you, is going to be guided by the principle that I learned from Pastor A.R. Bernard from Christian Cultural Center. And he was teaching, and he said, a man without a future will always return to his past. So this episode's weapon is your crown of joy. Place it on your head. What is it? We'll figure that out later. And weapon number two is commander of the morning. So weapon number one is for the atmosphere within you, the crown of joy placed on your head. Weapon number two, commander of the morning, commands the 24 hours Father has given you. It's the place that you are, the place that you are going, and before you arrive and as you are getting there. And you are also canceling every antichrist spirit and anti-you assignment. When I come in the morning, I'm doing for me and the other people that I'm praying for my anti-Valerie assignment for the day. All right. Anybody that's tried to come against Valerie for that day, I'm canceling them with the command in the morning. So, and if you don't command your morning, somebody else will. And it's not going to be someone that has your good will and good intentions for you in mind. So when I taught this to one of my proteges, her demeanor was one of awe. She said, on her drive to work, traffic was smooth. There was no road rage. And she laughed. She said there wasn't even a road rage coming from her. But it surely wasn't coming from other drivers because the road was clear. And she said the day seemed even brighter and lighter. She said she can feel it. She said even her supervisor was chill that day. Now that should be the beginning and the end of this episode if you can get your supervisor to chill. Or somebody who's coming against you. In the event that you have a great supervisor, then you surely are blessed. So go to therealroyalfamily.com. And when you get there, you're going to click on the podcast tab and you're going to scroll down and you're going to see where it's a download. And the download you will see is Commander of the Morning. Download it, print it out, and read it every morning. Every morning. And you will see, you will have begin to have a testimony. Our faithful Father calls to us and says, let us reason together. Any adoring father does. And those of us who grew up without an earth father are challenged in this in so many ways. If you were born out of wedlock, I implore you to go to therealroyalfamily.com, search for the fatherless child, the illegitimate child lesson, and listen to it. Listen to the mandates and the wisdom that come from our kingdom and get delivered from this curse. It is called the curse of the illegitimate child. The Bible actually calls it the curse of the bastard. In summary, a child born with married parents, one father and one mother, have a special hedge of protection. And when they have really good parents, then that hedge is nice and solid and thick. But just to be born with a married father and mother, that gives you a hedge. Now, how thick it is and what it's made out of depends on the type of parenting that you get and how much they follow the word. And those who did not have married parents, they don't have that hedge of protection. Those in the kingdom of darkness can see that you are vulnerable. They can see that there is a mark on you or a mark that you are missing, and they pick on you. And they target you your whole life, and you will be attracted to things which appear to fill in that missing void. It'll be a false promise. It'll be some false power. Somebody will try to get you to follow them. Someone who has nothing good for you in mind. They want, remember I talked about this, they want your worship. And you don't give your worship up to anybody unless his name is Jesus. Well, he's part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You'll be attracted and you'll go towards things which appear to have promise and power, but they are worse traps than where you were before you were attracted to that. So our Father, who art in heaven, he has a solution for that. Orphans and foster children especially have to get this extra hedge. And what does our Father say in Psalm 27, verse 10, reading from the King James Version? When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That is fabulous. So God will become your father and mother. Then you will have an advantage over everyone else. If you can get untangled from the lies and the destructive behavior of not being born with a married mother and father and a present mother and father, because though they might have been married and they might have been there, they might have been so messed up, maybe addicted to drugs or to themselves or following around some cult leader and allowing all kinds of demonic shenanigans in your life because, one, they were weak. You know what it takes to stand firm and on resolve and say, I will figure out how to get what I need, but I'm not going to get it from another human being unless they show me a great deal of integrity, generosity. But you got to see people for a long time before you begin to see the little tricks that they have, because that's exactly what con men do, right? They set up a nice little cozy trap, and once you get in there, they close that clamp on your leg. So don't be so quick to believe that something that looks good is good. You take your time and you don't rush into anything. You follow the word. And when in doubt, you follow the word. And if you're still in doubt, then you follow the word. And by the way, the translation that I really love is I love to read the Passion Translation to understand God's word and the intricacies of the time that was going on in the Hebrew language. But I memorize King James scripture. And sometimes I also read other translations. It's still the language, but sometimes there's something that I just know that's there and it's a jewel and a mystery and I want to get it. So I read the other, like the Message you've heard me read here and the Amplified Version you've heard me read examples here. So in Psalms 27:10, it says, God will become your father and mother. Then you will have an advantage over everyone, okay? This is fantastic, because he left no situation unaccounted for. He is our everything. So why are we still bound up? Why are you still stagnated and downpressed? We must close evil doors, portals, and gates, and those openings, because those openings allow tormentors, wasters, haters, and everything you don't want in your life to thrive. We must open windows and open heavenly doors and portals and gates and windows that speak the King's language. So blessing, peace, righteousness, freedom, abundance, and provision flow into our lives. So if you are in need of a guide, of a way to behave in a simple outline, here it is. You need to cut off the supply and launch counterattacks. So first you're going to read Psalm 35 and Psalm 91 at noon and at midnight. That's right. You're going to have to wake up at midnight and read it. Now, it might take you some time to do that, but you're going to set an alarm a little bit before, maybe 5 minutes before, and then you're going to sit up, splash some water on your face, read Psalm 35 and Psalm 91. You can also read, add Psalm 2 to that, or in Psalm 121. Or you can get Dr. Olukoya's Come In the Morning book. If you have, well, you really should do that anyway, and just read his, wake up at midnight and read all of those declarations, and you just shut things down quick, fast, in a hurry. And the second thing you can do, releasing the power of the blood, you read that at night, and you can find that on the Real Royal Family. A few tabs that you can go to. You can go to the alphabetical tab and go to releasing the power of the blood, and that is a download. And then also you can get Commander of the Morning, and then you read that before the sun rises, okay? Because that is the beginning of our day. And actually the Bible says that the evening and the day started the first day, so the evening starts the day, so you get a head start on the day by reading Command the Morning before the sun rises. And once a week, start doing some self-deliverance. So there is something that you could focus on, okay? Psalm 35 and Psalm 91, reading that at noon and at midnight, releasing the power of the blood, read it before you go to bed, and Command the Morning when you wake up. You can also read Isaiah 54:17 before you go to sleep, so no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. All right, so they form their things in the darkness. That's the time that they thrive, and we thrive every time. And then once a week, do self-deliverance. And there's self-deliverance links all over the realroyalfamily.com. And there's a section on the realroyalfamily.com that has a Royal Crown Club where you can go bronze, copper, silver, choose the alphabetical page, whatever you do, do it. Let me tell you this also. When I first started investigating about this thing called Christianity, I didn't know what it was called, but I needed to know what was going on, because there was a lot going on in my life. I didn't know how to make it right, but I knew something wasn't right, and I couldn't even really qualify it. But I could tell you this, pretty much every hand in my family was pointing to me, trying to make me seem like everything else was fine. I was the only one having problems. There's usually one in the family that says, hey, something is going on, and then the demons possessing everyone else in your family will make them all turn to you and say, no, we're not having problems, it's just you. You should know that that's a lie, and you should do what you know needs to be done. So when I first started investigating, I didn't know what it was called. The first book that I read, which had a lot of self-deliverance in it, was He Came to Set the Captives Free by Dr. Rebecca Brown. So I've been doing self-deliverance for over 20 years. I had no idea that that's what it was called, but I was determined to get to the bottom of what was going wrong in my family and in my life. Nobody in my church was speaking about deliverance or even self-deliverance. Now, if you go to a deliverance church, there's a form of there where you're blessed, but trust and believe, if you're in a deliverance church, the witches are up in there trying to cause all kinds of havoc too. So you may not be possessed, but you are oppressed. And they will not leave you. Those dark spirits will not leave you until you make them. So I was researching things for other people. I did not know how to research for me. I just knew stuff was wrong, and I just kept trying to find out. I'm always learning, always learning, always learning. So I was researching things for other people, and then when I would listen to the YouTube or read the book, I realized, oh wow, I have an anger problem too. It's not just fill in the blank who I was looking for. It was me too. And don't miss out on that biblical principle. When you seek to do good things and to get other people free and to solve things for them, God makes what you wanted to do for that other person happen for you. I wanted the other person to be free, and so God set me free. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful God He is. And that's who He is, and that's exactly what He does, right? He wanted us free, so He died for us. So you must do self-deliverance regularly. Start once a week, and you will actually be able to tangibly feel the freedom. And then you increase it to 2 times a week. Just recognize and know that all kinds of stuff are going to start to bubble up in your life. People who you haven't spoken to are going to start calling, asking you to go out. Exes are going to call. Family members are going to call for stuff. And you just might have to start getting used to saying no. All kinds of emergencies that will take your attention away from it will come up. You focus on this. And when you see it, you go, aha, I see you. I see you. It's like whack-a-mole. Don't even pick up your hammer to pop them in the head, because the freedom that you are receiving, that's already bringing them pain. So then you keep adding more and more self-deliverance. And when you do that, you add our kingdom's jewels to your life and to your crown. We are still answering the premise of this show. Who are you and what are you? Psalms 84 verse 1 in the Passion Translation says, God of heaven's armies, you find so much beauty in your people. They're like lovely sanctuaries of your presence. That's Psalm 84 verse 1 in the Passion Translation. So are you living like lovely sanctuaries decorated with the beauty of the riches and the most powerful, ingenious, and highest ranking presence in all the universe and every multiverse ever made? Ever and ever without end? Do the work of cleaning off the filth of this world, and one day you will see it and you will know it. So if you're not the lovely sanctuary, do the work of cleaning off the filth from this world, and one day you will see it and you will say it and you will know it. Do you dress like the most adorned temple, because it represents our monarch? Not expensive clothing. It's a fragrance of your heart. It's the peace which saturates you and everywhere you go. The light that shines from inside and the gems covering your priestly garments. If not, you might want to get working on that. So who are you and what are you? We are fine-tuning that now. Yes, you are a citizen from the kingdom of light, life, love, and power, and not a citizen of darkness, from the kingdom of darkness, death, lust, and force. You are a son of God. But what differentiates you from the rest of heaven's sons? In the royal family, what your job and purpose is on earth, that's what differentiates you. And no one can do what you were sent to do. So don't think that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, it'll get done some other way. Yes, God will make it happen. But I wouldn't want to stand before him and him say, not well done. You gave up. Well, I didn't know. Well, then you should have asked me and I would have told you. I would have led you to the way instead of you just giving up because it was too hard. It's only hard at first. The more you do self-deliverance, the more you speak God's word, the more you take dominion, the easier it gets. And there's a certain point when instead of you just fighting them off and closing portals and getting away from things that you don't like, all of a sudden the tables begin to turn and things and people see you and begin to get away from you. I'm a living witness to that. We're then going to progress on to the real matter, who he is and what are you to him. That is a very grand, so we're going to start small in that area so we can understand. Who are you? The caveat and the premise is who made you, okay? So birds make birds. Snakes make snakes. Majestic elephants make little baby majestic elephants. Who you are patterned after is 90% of the answer. The other 10% is a special touch that he gives to each and every one of us to complete our purpose. There are birds that can swim and there are birds that dig in the earth that can still fly. Just because other birds only fly in the air, that doesn't mean that that's the only kind of bird that you are. There's a puffin, which is a bird that flies, swims, and burrows into the ground. So you got to find out what kind of bird you are, right? And God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. That's Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 in the Message. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and every other creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And it's Genesis 1, 26, King James Version. And so if there are any creeps in your life, this is really just a joke. We don't have dominion over other people. We just have dominion over ourselves and the spirits that those other people are letting make them operate. But an image, it's a likeness. It's a reflection of our nature. Synonyms to likeness are duplicate, mirror image, replica, appearance. But let's not assume equality. A miniature replica of the USS Intrepid can fit inside of a glass bottle, or it can be the size of maybe an SUV or a car if it's in a museum. But whereas the original size of the USS Intrepid is huge. So let's just keep that on ice right now. So the word likeness, it's a quality, it's the state of being. Like I can dance like Ginger Rogers. This doesn't make me Ginger Rogers. Function is like, you can move like, you can function like something. So when it's a likeness, the word like is an adjective. Same or nearly the same as an appearance, character, or quality. Closely resembling the subject or original. The word like is a preposition in the manner of or similar to. We're made in God's likeness in the manner of God, similar to God. So let's get practical in the heavenly way, that is, because there really is nothing practical about heaven, because our God is wonderful and awesome, and he doesn't do anything just practical. He does it supernatural, and we work above the practical, and that's why he's glorious, and I love him. Amen. So Philippians 2, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Live a cheerful life without complaining or division among yourselves, for then you will be seen as innocent, faultless, and pure children of God, even though you live in the midst of a brutal and perverse culture. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe, holding out the words of eternal life. I haven't labored among you for nothing, for your lives are the fruit of my ministry, and you will be my glorious boast at the unveiling of Christ. And that's Philippians 2:13 through 16, the Passion Translation. For you will appear among them as shining lights in the universe. Shining lights in the Aramaic translates to the enlightened ones. Enlightened means illustrated light. This translates to mean when the enlightened ones show up with their illustrated light, darkness must flee. The kingdom of darkness is dominated by fear, torture, and torment. If they move from their post, they will be tormented. They'll be torn to shreds by razor-sharp claws. They will be gang-busted up in the worst way imaginable. So your light is not a bulb. It is more akin to a supernatural blaze. How bright, how long that light burns, and how intense the heat is determined by you. A candle flame is still good. A campfire, really good. A bonfire is great, but a total inferno is the goal. Light always needs an energy source. Dark forces spend their energy to decrease our light, and your inferno. We spend our energy, time, and attention increasing our inferno. How? I'm so glad you asked. You listen to the Real Royal Family podcast, and you go to therealroyalfamily.com, and you do the things that are on there. You will learn about our kingdom. You will learn about the kingdom that is out there to destroy our kingdom, knowing their tactics and their strategies, and so you don't fall into their traps and keep becoming food and fodder for them. We spend our time and energy and intention increasing our inferno. We get plugged in many ways by battery, by electricity, butane, wood. Fire can become an explosion. And the sun, the S-O-N, his name is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's our battery. That's our fuel. That's our explosion. That's our source that we must remain plugged into. We are made in his image and in his likeness. The word says, ye are gods. We are like him in breed and class and function. You are not the God. We are a God species in function and in form. We operate at our highest efficiency when we use the gasoline meant for our supernatural, supersonic, omnipotent nature. That gasoline is his word, his psalm spoken or sung in worship. The Hebrew word for song can also mean wall. So when your back is against a wall or you need a fortress around you, you sing a psalm. You sing a worship song. Worship causes his creation to come to our assistance immediately. And who else is his creation? Yep, that's those angelic hosts, the angel armies. So I'm just going to speak for myself right here, because you have to figure out who you are. I am wonderfully and awesomely designed. I am a worshiper. Who are you? I am a glorious, indestructible, supernatural warrior who annihilates darkness. I am dangerous. Who are you? I am wealthy. I am abundant. I am a law enforcement agent. And this list goes on and on and on. And who are you? Why am I those descriptions? And there's only one answer that suffices. By his design, and his word will back up what he designed me to be. And if you say you are a worshiper, what does that mean? If you are heaven's law enforcement agent, what does that mean? I can tell you what it's not. It's not roughness or bossy, nor lazy, nor mean, nor putting your foot on people's neck while you get to get sunshine and they get darkness. That is not it. That is the opposite of what a leader is. It's not just cashing a check at your job and not doing anything. And what rank are you in law enforcement? Okay, think about that. And who are you enforcing? And I'm here to tell you, it's not other people. It's first you, self-control in you, cleaning out the demons that are oppressing you in different parts of your body, from in your bloodline. It's telling them, out they come, out they come. You follow those self-deliverance teachers, those spirits begin to come out, and there's a few ways you can tell when they're coming out. You'll hear things gurgling in your body. Sometimes you will cry. When I've done self-deliverance, I've sometimes has belched, or I hear a little clicking in my ear or something else. And when I have done deliverance for other people, they have thrown up and gagged, and stuff has just come deep from inside of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So being a CEO or a grandmother, being a billionaire or somebody who works for minimum wage, being a churchgoer in the natural has very little impact on the spiritual. Being his people is conditional. In contracts, and especially in covenants, both parties have duties and responsibilities and ways to behave. Don't ever be guilty of worshiping any other God but me. I am your only God, the living God. I am your only God, the living God. Wasn't I the one who broke the strongholds over you and raised you up out of bondage? Open your mouth with a mighty decree. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that I speak, so shall it be. But my people still wouldn't listen. My princely people would not yield to me, so I lifted my grace from off their lives, and I surrendered them to the stubbornness of their hearts, for they were living according to their own selfish fantasies. That's Psalm 81, verse 9 from the Passion Translation. His love is unconditional, but his crown of authority and power and trust are not unconditional. There are conditions. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Man is wonderfully and awesomely made. Still, who are you? From the most general to the most detailed purpose of your mission here on earth, we're going to summarize. Who are you? One, you're made in God's image. You are in a class in an image of God. You are in a function, a likeness of God. Ye are gods in function and image, but you are not the creator. House cats are cats, but they are not lions and lionesses. Who are you in more detail? You are supposed to behave as warrior kings and warrior priests. Kings take territory and spoils from enemies and foes. Priests are bridge builders to God's vast and endless supply through worship, praise, obedience, and discipline. Priests are responsible for guiding the blessing and cleansing of the sins, transgressions, and iniquities of themselves first. We always start with ourselves first, and then their bloodline. And then they go to the people. They go in their church, they go to the congregation, and then they go to the nation. Priest must spend time with God. So who you are his beloved, beautiful bride. Come out from amongst them. Stop the whoredom of singing satanic songs by satanic artists. Cease wearing satanic garments and speaking curses of death and darkness. Who are you? You are a deliverer. Deliver you first, lead by example. That's how you answer the question, what's your purpose? Then spend time with your creator to determine, out of the billions of ways to help people and serve people, what category are you in? Question, what did God put you on earth to accomplish? I just want to help people. Okay, how? In frustration, and basically people telling me to leave them alone when I've asked them the question, you know, what are you here for? What is your purpose? You know, they just, oh, I'm here to help people, or I'm a parent. And I ask, so what happens when your child is 30 and 40? Yes, you're still parenting them, but that is not just your purpose. It's an important purpose. But in addition to that, you know, you got the first and you got the second and you got the third. So in the first stage, the second stage, and the third stage. Now, what are you here for? Now, what are you? What describes and defines the conditions and the ways to behave? What are your duties? God's love is unconditional. Once again, his trust is not. His gifts are without repentance. But the light bulb does not work without the electricity, nor the candle without the igniting. So what are you? What are you to be doing and being? You are a temple. You are a sanctuary. You are a place where God's presence, the Holy Spirit, can dwell. What are the conditions the Holy Spirit requires in a place that he abodes in? There are flea bag and bed bug hotels. There are supposed to be 5-star hotels. Well, there are 5-star hotels, and in some of those places, abominations occur behind secret doorways. And yes, they are beautifully designed, and the service is exceptional, and the meals are great. But a place can still be beautifully designed and smell like poo because of the death and the innocent bloodshed that goes on, and the abominations that go on behind the closed doors, and the sin done in those locations. So the dark kingdom does wicked things to appease their father, the father of lies. They perform twisted things to open doors, windows, gates, and portals for him. Looking good is not holiness. Designer clothing is not a sign of wealth to our divine dignitary. Absolutely not. What acts are you performing daily to open doors for your king? What gates and portals and windows are you opening for your divine monarch who deserves all your glory and your praise, and you singing songs in your heart even though you're doing something else? Your words, your thoughts, your heart, your deeds, your attire, and the company you keep need to reflect your rank and status as a holy sanctuary for the Holy Spirit. What are you? What's the accommodations the Holy Spirit likes? Ask him. If he likes flowers, bring him flowers. If he wants them, how do you ask him? You wait on him. How? You ask him. Read the list he already left you, the Holy Bible, his word. There are things he doesn't like, and he will leave in a moment. How does your child, your love, your mother, your father, your friend know what gifts to give you? They listen to you. They watch you. All right? Keep an open heart. A willing heart finds a million ways to do something and say yes. An unwilling heart finds a million ways and a million excuses to say no. So in summary, who are you? You are made in God's image. You are a little God. What are you? You are a sanctuary. You are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. You are a territory taker. But first you have to make a space for him inside before you can take up more space outside. You got to clean up the inside, okay? How long the Holy Spirit stays and what size suite or penthouse he chooses depends on you. Clean the inside, make it shiny, and he will stay, and you'll begin to see signs, miracles, and wonders and abundance. This episode's principle, a man without a future always returns to his past, meaning if you don't know who and what you are, you will keep walking around and around and around that mountain, never getting to your promise, never getting to your land and your territory, never getting to your rank. So our weapons, your crown of joy. Place them on your head. And that's 1 Thessalonians verse 2:19 in the King James Version. And it says, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? The Amplified says, for who is the object of our hope or joy of our victor's wreath of triumph, celebration when we stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? That means he is my crown of rejoicing and triumph, and I am his. 1 Thessalonians 2:19. I'm going to read that in the Passion Translation because that really helps me to understand. For what will be our confident hope, our exhilarating joy, or our wonderful trophy that we will boast in before our Lord Jesus at his appearing? It is you. Yes, you are our glorious pride and joy. Well, you need to walk in that. After who are you and what are you, that shall determine what you do. Stay tuned to the rhythm of heaven. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone, then it's crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.